This episode of Walsh Wednesday is brought to you by NHA of Dutchess County, Foman Wash Car Wash, Juniors 2, the Kyle Robinson Memorial Foundation, the Council on Addiction Prevention and Education of Dutchess County Incorporated, Dayrock, and Walsh Valuation.
Let's stay curious, keep an open mind, and as always, I'm glad we get to spend some time. Welcome to Walsh Wednesday.
Previously on Walsh Wednesday...
You said absolute legend, and I already knew. Oh, like, Mr. Walsh.
Yeah, Terry Walsh.
Terry Walsh.
Terrence.
Legend Terry Walsh.
Yeah, we said legend Terry Walsh.
Word for word.
Word for word.
The camera's still on, right?
Yes.
Yeah, legend Terry Walsh.
Terry Walsh. Now for today.
We got a studio audience.
Oh, we do.
Uh-oh.
I got pressure now.
So,
you gave me the lucky seat?
Oh, yep. Yeah. That seat always wins.
Well, besides last time.
Well, you didn't see.
Oh.
But that's interesting right that you caught on to that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's coming up.
It's just me, maybe.
We'll see.
So. Terry's eating this up.
Specifically said, it was like, Connor, you need to have me on Walsh Wednesday again. My fans need me. You did say that. You did say that recently.
I did one of those fans.
Yes. Sure. You said it nonetheless.
Hey there, and welcome back to Walsh Wednesday. As always, I'm Connor Walsh, coming to you from the MHA studios here in Poughkeepsie, and we got another Walsh whiteboard for you guys today. As you can tell from the intro, this was kind of manifested in a sense. Trevor, who you had on last week. Trevor, how are you, my friend?
Could be better.
Against the legend himself, Terry Walsh.
Hi, how you doing, guys?
I love the way you perked up there. Not just that, we have a studio audience. Mom and Dan are over there.
I thought you almost said Dad. I was like,
no,
that's Dan. I was going to say.
They're so close. It's off by a letter. That's it. So we're having some fun here today. So Trevor kind of, as we talked about last episode, Trevor comes up with a lot of ideas here, whether he means to or not.
Roll the clip.
So
I do a lot around here.
Yeah. Trevor needs to get on payroll eventually.
Let me know
we'll have
there.
To do that. Yeah, we'll get that going.
Let me know when you get enough budget. I'll be ready.
Barely paying him.
I know.
So he's really kicking himself today. He's like, oh, God, I got to go up against Terry Walsh.
And guess the category. That's going to be, I'm still like, the guess the category is a lot harder than I thought it was going to be.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he nailed it last time.
Dan did a good job of that last time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so what's going to happen, just like the last episode, we're going to go through all five questions in the category, and then the bonus question worth 2 points, they're going to have to guess what the overall category is. So figure out the context clues in each one of those questions. Of course, we're going to be doing 4 rounds of 5 questions each, plus we have the Walsh Wheel.
Oh,
oh yeah. So something that's a little bit different this time about the wheel, Dan's favorite color, yellow, has been changed. So it has changed. It is now Ask the Audience.
That's us.
Yep. Ask the Audience.
Yeah.
There we go. So just to make sure that we actually utilize the Ask the Audience, Dad and Trevor already have one Ask the Audience card. They have a chance to earn more through spins. That being said, the 4 rounds, we go through all that, yada, 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 and then the final wager question, which I will tell them at the end what the category will be. Guys, how are we feeling?
Good. Can't wait.
I love it. I like the energy,
uh-oh.
Dad. Very
uh-oh.
Good.
He's feeling good. I'm a little nervous. I'm 0-3. Now I'm facing the legendary Walsher. Knows a lot of information.
All day I've been like, I'm dark. But, you know, we're on camera.
Got to be ready to go.
He's good. Now, it's funny. I just got to say, when we were doing trivia over at Juniors 2, our sponsor, by the way, our winner's getting a $20 gift certificate to Juniors 2. Come out to trivia every Thursday night. Last week, Trevor came, and his team name was The Real Terry Walsh.
Yes, it was.
What's that like to have a team named after you?
Oh, it's so... So inspiring.
Yep. That inspired me to get to 4th place. I beat people.
You did beat
people. I did beat people.
There were people that were beaten
by
the real Terry Walsh and by the actual Terry Walsh.
There you go.
You love it. I almost forgot. You guys get the free spin to start off.
Ooh.
So since there are no points on the board, if you get a steal 2 points, you just get 2 points and the other person stays at 0. We are not doing negatives. I'm not that mean here. Let's see. Dad, you go first because this is your first time on Walsh Whiteboard.
Oh, why thank you.
That was a weak spin, but we'll take it.
I didn't want to hit the microphone.
Well, you got a block.
Uh-oh.
Block.
So a block means that you can play this, and it prevents Trevor from answering the question.
Oh, excellent.
Can I try to answer the question and just get no point?
You would get no point.
Okay.
Yeah. Trevor, give it a good spin.
I know.
Trevor, the wheel tends to like you. Will that be the same?
Free pass.
Free pass.
Mm.
Very good. Now remember,
If I play a free pass and he blocks it, do I have to answer the question?
No. So it
how did that work?
I'm glad that you brought that up because we had this come up last time.
He had two free passes, so he was able to double pass. So my block got canceled.
If Trevor plays his free pass first, Dad can play the block to negate it. But let's say Dad plays the block, then Trevor can use the free pass to negate that.
And then I still have to answer the question.
Yes.
Okay, so they just block each other out.
Essentially, yeah.
Cool.
Pretty much.
Cool.
So we'll see how that ends up going.
Can I spend points to get some spins already?
Not yet.
I can't go to negative.
You don't have any points.
I can't go in debt?
No.
He's willing to go into debt for a shot at the wheel.
I am.
You are a gambling man.
Casinos would love
it. I'm just saying, I was ahead because of the wheel last time.
You were.
I was ahead because of the wheel, and we just both missed the final question.
Yeah. I should get you guys paperweights or something.
I got my board.
All right, here we go. First category, first question. Starting off with something that I know that you both love. In the movie Miracle, which depicts the 1980 Miracle on Ice, how many men auditioned to be one of the 20 player roles on the U.S. Olympic team? Is it A, 84 men, B, 212 men, or C, over 4,000 men?
No softballs to start today.
No, he just came out with, the craziest pitch of all time. An Ephus.
Where do you find some of these questions? I'm actually curious. How deep in the well are you going?
I really don't have to go that far, and unfortunately, I know a lot of stuff.
You know that?
Show off your boards, guys.
I put B.
I'm going B.
We both put B.
Both putting B.
Just because it was very specific.
How are they starting? Is it good? Is it bad? Unfortunately, B is incorrect. The answer was over 4,000.
Do you know the exact number?
4,000 hockey players in the whole country.
I said
definitely is way more than that. But yeah,
I'm saying 4,000 actors went out to play one of the 20 roles. Letter A, 84 men. That was the actual amount of athletes who tried out for the 1980 team.
Okay.
Yeah. So
and 212 was just a random.
That was just a random number. I threw that in there.
Okay. Yeah. By the way, Trevor, I liked your letter B that
you drew. Yeah. I just colored it in.
Perfect. All right. Question number two. In the movie Slapshot, which famous actor was originally considered for the role of Reggie Dunlop before Paul Newman got the part? Was it A, Burt Reynolds, B, Steve McQueen, or C, Clint Eastwood?
Was Steve McQueen still alive at that time?
Yes, gotta remember the timelines and the ages.
Or you close your eyes and throw a dart. And
you can do that as well, for sure. That's Trevor's way of going about it.
Sometimes, if you don't know it, the name sounds kind of familiar.
Yep.
I obviously know all three names, but the one that sounds the most familiar with that.
Yep. All right, guys, show off your boards.
Put B.
I put C.
Oh, differing answers. This is where we're going to have a leader start. The answer was B, Steve McQueen.
I wasn't sure if he was still alive at that time.
He was. Question number three. Though Carl Weathers may have experienced boxing on film, he was not the actor to knock out Adam Sandler's Happy Gilmore with a punch. Who was it? Was it A, Christopher McDonald, B, Gary Potter, or C, Bob Barker? That one's more the morale-boosting one. I should have made that number one, but no.
Yeah, that definitely should have been number one.
No.
That definitely should have been number one.
You started the game, and Connor's just how can I really mess with him? Let me give him a question that's the equivalent of sniper.
Yeah,
I really don't feel good about myself now.
All right, show off your boards. They both said C, Bob Barker. That is correct. The iconic boxing scene there on the course for the Pro-Am. All right, question number four. In the 2005 remake of The Longest Yard, this actor wore the number jersey that he wore while he was in the NFL. Was it A, Michael Irvin, B, Terry Crews, or C, Stone Cold Steve Austin?
That was actually a mega cast for a movie. All the names involved.
Such an incredible cast.
Yeah.
Oh my God, phenomenal.
And it's a remake.
Such a good cast. It's crazy what they were able to put together for that. All right, guys, show off your boards.
I believe it's Terry Crews.
Trevor is saying Terry Crews. Dad is saying Michael Irvin. The answer was Michael Irvin.
Yay.
So Terry Crews did play for the NFL.
For the Vikings, I think.
I believe you're right. But it was Michael Irvin that wore his 88.
Which Cowboys.
Yep, exactly. And then Stone Cold Steve Austin, he played football in high school and college, but he never went to the NFL. All right, question number five, and the last in this category. What was the name of the real-world golf club that they filmed the golf comedy Caddyshack on in 1979? Was it A, Grand Oaks Golf Club, B, Rolling Hills Golf and Tennis Club, or C, Lumber Mills Country Club?
The real golf course.
The real golf course. What was the name of the golf course at the time of filming? They are both currently tied at 2.
Yeah, I kind of like this audience thing because I'm not playing, so I can actually look up questions I'm curious about, and I do know the answer.
I love it. All right, show off your boards, guys.
I put A.
Trevor's saying A.
B.
Dad is saying B. Uh-oh. Well, when it comes to Grand Oaks Golf Club, that is the current name. But if you go back to what it was called, it was Rolling Hills Golf and Tennis Club while filming.
That's what I was between.
And then they destroyed it.
And they did. They absolutely destroyed it. And if you didn't get the reference, Lumber Mills, that was
where he was going to end up.
Exactly. That's a reference to the scene with Chevy Chase in the beginning of the film.
You're going
to
end up in the Lumber Mill.
Yep. All right, guys, that brings us to the end of this category. It is time for the bonus question.
Bonus round.
What is the category? Come up with as close as you can. We're going to compare it to what I have written down on the Google Doc. And if it's close enough, you'll get the 2 points. All right. Looks like you guys both have answers.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Trevor, you.
Yeah, I'm good.
You okay?
Yeah.
All right. Show off your boards, guys.
Sports movies.
That's exactly what I wrote down. Nice. Sports movies. Perfect. 2 points each.
Yay.
At the end of round one, Dad is up by 1.5-4. But it is time for the wheel.
Free spins.
Free spins. And then after their free spins, they have to deduct points to spin more.
Trevor's salivating.
What'd I get?
Let's see. Free pass.
That's nice. I got more free passes.
You love the free passes. I think this is the thing that you get the most.
I had block last time.
You had block?
He free passed, then I blocked, and then he free passed.
I feel like you've had free pass the most, though, across all your episodes.
I've only had it, maybe.
And I will go down as the person who got the most nothings ever.
Probably. Actually, I don't know. Harrison got a lot of nothings, too.
Harrison got a lot of minuses, too.
Yeah, let's see.
In the beginning.
Oh, this is coming undone.
Uh-oh, he's got another block?
He's got another block. Two free passes and two blocks. All right.
It seems to go that way in bunches.
There you go. All right. That being said, is anybody going to subtract any points for more spins? Remember, you are down a point.
I am down a point.
You are up a point.
I'm holding fast.
He's holding.
I'll hold for this one.
All right. It's still early. Still early.
It looked like it hurt you.
It did. Because I know if I'm going to lose one, I'm going to get another pass. It's not worth anything.
All right, guys. Here we go. Round two. Question number one. Which head coach holds the record for the most Stanley Cup wins in NHL history? Is it A, Joel Quenneville, B, Scotty Bowman, or C, Al Arbor? Trevor, it looked like that question hurt you.
It hurt at first, and then I was like, oh, wait, it's multiple choice. Yeah. Then I was like, I'm going to know the name when it's said.
Yeah, it was like one of those things where it's like, all right, I'll know it when I hear it.
Yeah.
All right, guys, show off your boards. What are we saying? B and B. Scotty Bowman is correct.
He did with a bunch of different teams.
Yeah. Yes. Let's see. He won 9 Stanley Cups as head coach, 14 total with various front office roles. Pretty impressive.
Jeez.
Canadians.
Very good.
He's everywhere.
Question number two. Who holds the record for the most regular season games coached and wins as an NHL head coach behind Scotty Bowman? Is it A, Al Arbor, B, Ken Hitchcock, or C, Joel Quenneville?
Ooh. This is as a head coach?
Yes.
Okay. One is
Quenneville and Hitchcock have just been around forever.
Yeah. See, Al Arbor's before my time, so I don't know.
I love Al Arbor.
I know he's a very good coach, and I know he coached for a long time, but I also know Quenneville has also coached for a long time.
The wheels are turning.
They are turning so hard.
I don't know.
All right. I don't have it now, but he'll have it in the future.
I'm picking this one because I'm a big fan of his.
Very good. So Al Arbor,
I put Quenneville.
Trevor is saying C. The answer is C. That goes to Trevor.
Okay.
You guys are tied at 6.
So that was Quenneville?
Yeah.
Joel Quenneville. He hits second of all time in career coaching wins, trailing only Bowman.
And he's still coaching.
He's been around forever.
He's the Ducks coach, I believe, right now.
Is that where he's at?
Yeah.
Question number 3, moving on. Who was the first European-born head coach in NHL history, taking over the Chicago Blackhawks in 2000? Was it A, Ivan Linka, B, Alpo Sahonin, or C, Ralph Kruger? Okay, I don't think that was that bad.
That wasn't that bad.
Okay. I could have mispronounced, but at least.
Oh, Lord.
That's tough, but there's one name I know the most out of those three.
Okay. All right, guys, you guys have answers?
Yeah.
Show off.
Kruger, I think.
They're both.
Kruger.
I got it. I was showing him.
They both said C. Unfortunately, C is incorrect. That would have been Alpo Sahonen. He's from Finland.
Now, if you had said Stan Mikita, I would have.
I know that name.
Him, but I know him.
Well, he wasn't the first European born head coach.
All right.
All right. Question number four. Which fiery longtime coach won the Jack Adams Award as Coach of the Year with three different franchises? Philadelphia, Tampa Bay, and Columbus. Was it A, Mike Babcock, B, Peter Laviolette, or C, John Tortorella?
Laviolette.
I don't know.
I think I know this one.
They're both saying Torts. It's funny because you were writing it before
you
finished it.
You said fiery head coach, and I was like, it's got to be Tortorella.
he just got in trouble again for...
Did he?
With the Golden Knights.
They just fired him, I thought. I didn't think he was did anything.
They made him... he didn't show up for some press conferences.
Oh, yeah, then, he did for, in the middle of the playoffs.
They pulled some draft picks from him.
And question number five. Which coach led the New York Islanders to four consecutive Stanley Cup championships during their famous 1980s dynasty? Was it A, Al Arbor, B, Fred Shero, or C, Pat Burns?
I was a big fan of them.
Mike Bossy?
Yeah, I played golf with Clark Gillies.
Oh, really?
It's the ball miles.
Oh, that doesn't surprise me.
I can see it. All right, guys, show off your boards. Both saying Al Arbor. This is just like your IBM one.
Yeah.
I love it.
Roll the clip.
I like how you did that, Trevor. That's very good. Show it off. There you go. All right, both.
You put IBM at B, so I put a really small I, and then I put a big B, and then a really spiny M.
If you couldn't tell from my clap, they are both correct. And that brings us to the end of round two. Now you guys have to write down what you think the category was for our bonus question.
Bonus round.
Hockey coaches, what did I write down? Word for word, hockey coaches.
You can read your mind.
Yep. Both of you guys are at 10 points each. Very, very good.
Close.
So, it is time for the wheel again.
No.
Who should get the wheel first, guys? Audience, asking the audience.
This is his ask the audience. Here, you got to.
Yeah. I know, I got to pull it out. Here we go.
Let Dad do it. He's just so anxious.
All right, Dad, you spin the wheel.
I believe the first time me and Harrison played with the wheel, there was a minus two on there.
No, there wasn't.
Wasn't there?
No, it was just
we just kept stealing from each other the whole time?
No, you got a block! And yes, you kept stealing from each other all the time.
That makes sense.
Another block!
He kept stealing from me. Yep. I was going down. I couldn't steal anything
back. That
was a
good spin.
That was. Guess what I got?
Free pass! This is hilarious.
It happens that way.
This is hilarious. So, is anybody going to deduct points for more spins?
We're tied?
You are tied right now.
Ooh, and if I get a block, I get nothing.
Yeah, if you get a block, you get nothing.
So that's the new NA.
Pretty much, yeah.
What else can I get here?
You could get another Ask the Audience. You could get the free pass. You could steal two. You could gain two. I know, you are a gambling man, Trevor.
And keep in mind, too, you're at like the halfway point. So you've got three. If you get anything else, you got
at the same point in time. I'm going to bet it all at the end anyways.
You know. All right. Hold on. I got to put this down. Trevor, you know that if you saved yourself 1 point last time.
I would have won. Yeah, but the same thing with him.
Why did you not do that?
Because that feels cheap. That feels cheap. We both get it wrong and I saved it by 1 point. Yeah, that seems honorable. You can't leave yourself 1 point. That feels really scummy. And we both get it wrong and I leave myself with 1 point.
But you proved that you won ahead of time then. You had everything else.
He'd rather go out with honor than Price is Right me.
He would have Price Right me anyways. He was closer with the guess.
It's true. Either way. Are you going to spin again?
I'll spin once.
All right, so Trevor's going down to 9 points.
I'll spin once, but if I get like 2 points. Ask the Audience.
Okay. He's got two Ask the Audiences.
Right, and these are probably going to be the ones I'm not as good at because they're not going to be hockey questions.
So,
better start using them.
So I'm going to use all my stuff now.
All right, so.
I know all of the passes and the blocks are going to go at the same time. I'm going to use a pass, he's going to use a block. I'm going to use a pass.
Or at least that would be the smart thing to do.
Or he's going to leave me with a pass. And then block me a question where he thinks I know it.
Keep my lead.
And pause. We're going to take a quick break from our interviews to hear from our sponsors.
Mental Health America of Dutchess County and Reviver Entertainment Group present The Sound of Nashville in the Hudson Valley's Queen City. Featuring headliner, Grand Ole Opry member, and CMT Award nominee, Craig Morgan. Wait, supporting acts, two-time Grammy nominee, Maggie Rose. Finalist of season 19 of The Voice and Hudson Valley native, Ian Flanagan. Viral sensation, Jake Banfield, and special guest, Broadway to country star, Brooke Morabra. The Sound of Nashville, one night only. Tuesday, October 6th at the Bardavon Opera House in Poughkeepsie, New York. Visit bardavon.org for ticket information. For 60 years, we here at Foam and Wash Car Wash pride ourselves on giving back to the community because we're your neighbors. It's our community too. In celebration of Foam and Wash's 60th anniversary, we want to say thank you. By visiting the link on screen and in the description, you'll receive one free hot wax and shine car wash. No hassles, no gimmicks, just a token of our appreciation. Foam and Wash Car Wash, home of the Unlimited Wash membership. Thank you for being part of Foam and Wash Car Wash's story for the last 60 years.
This episode is also sponsored by Juniors 2. Come on out to Juniors 2 in Poughkeepsie, New York for Thursday Night Trivia, hosted by CMJW Entertainment. Play as a team as you work your way through four rounds of trivia categories in order to win gift certificates and other prizes. Juniors 2 Trivia Nights, every Thursday starting at 7 p.m. at 1126 Dutchess Turnpike, Poughkeepsie.
Thanks for listening, guys. It's time to get back to the show. And play.
Here we go. Question number one in the third round. Released in 1977, this song became an unprecedented phenomenon, spending 10 consecutive weeks at the top of the Billboard Hot 100, making it the biggest Hot 100 of the decade. Was it A, You Light Up My Life by Debbie Boone, B, Staying Alive by the Bee Gees, or C, Bohemian Rhapsody by Queen?
I'm going to be honest, I don't really know the first one. I don't know the first one. We're going to pass.
So all right.
We'll see if he's going to use a block.
Are you going to use a block to cancel him out?
I use the block. I guess I got to use it.
So, Trevor, are you going to use another free pass to cancel that out?
Yeah.
All right.
I have him. I might as well use him.
Dad,
so then next time I spin the wheel, I can get something.
Are you going to block him once again? Or are you going to hold on to that?
I'm going to hold on.
All right.
He's going to give me the point.
So Trevor is up to 10. Let's see if Dad has the answer correct then. Show it off. Dad thinks it's Bohemian Rhapsody.
That's what I would have put.
Funny enough, the answer was You Light Up My Life by Debbie Boone.
I've never heard of that song.
Honestly, I had to look it up myself. I did not realize that.
I've never heard the name Debbie Boone before.
Yeah, me either. That's why I was
Pat Boone's daughter.
Blake stares still.
Yeah, like who? That's like...
They're tied at 10 now.
Yeah, see? Yeah. And I got two more.
Yep. Two ask the audiences and one free pass.
He can block and ask the audience?
You could.
Okay, that was my question. That's another question.
So, question number two. Released in 1981, this song spent a massive 10 weeks at number one on the Hot 100, making it the longest-running chart topper of the 80s. Was it A, Billie Jean by Michael Jackson, B, Physical by Olivia Newton-John, or C, Don't Stop Believing by Journey?
You lived it.
Those are some heavyweight choices.
I know.
All right, show off your boards, guys.
A is Billie Jean, right?
A was Billie Jean.
A, then but I you want put, A.
Yeah. So you want
A. He wants A. Okay, thank gosh he writes down the...
want Billie Jean.
I want Billie
I think
Jean.
It's Michael Jackson.
And you want Billie Jean.
Yes.
You should have went with B because it was physical.
Physical.
It was physical.
That wasn't even the one I was...
Yeah, same.
It just goes to show you...
He's been throwing out the ones that you wouldn't expect.
It just goes to show you, like, the songs that are remembered aren't always, like, the top on the list, but they're the top in people's hearts.
Cool.
You are so damn corny.
Appreciate
what do they say?
You're on the clock. enjoyable.
What do they say in soccer? It's like skill is temporary, but class is permanent.
That's a good song.
Like, that's a good song is going to be.
I like
for
that.
A while.
Question number three. Released in 1997. Good year. This track went on to sell over 33 million copies worldwide, securing its position as the absolute biggest selling physical single since the charts began. Is it A, I Will Always Love You by Whitney Houston, B, Wonderwall by Oasis, or C, Candle in the Wind by Elton John?
Oof. Big oof.
All heavy hitters.
Big oof.
Oh, Trevor's putting in a free pass. Dad, are you going to block him?
Yeah.
All right, so Trevor, you will have to answer.
Nice try.
But you eliminated one of his blocks at least.
Can I ask the audience then?
You can ask the audience.
Ask the audience.
Dad, are you going to block his ask the audience?
No.
All right.
Yeah, let the audience get involved.
All right.
I'll bring it over there. I'll bring it over there. I won't touch it.
He's an athlete.
He is an athlete.
I don't know if that was on camera, but.
Yeah, some of it was. All right, so whisper to each other. Oh, Dad has an answer. I'm going to lock Dad in.
Okay.
You can do this out loud.
Okay.
Released in 1997, this track went on to sell over 33 million copies worldwide, securing its position as the absolute biggest-selling physical single since the charts began. Was it A, I Will Always Love You by Whitney Houston, B, Wonderwall by Oasis, or C, Candle in the Wind by Elton John?
It's just Candle in the Wind. Mm-hmm. And the only reason I'm saying that because 97, I think, Princess Diana. Passed away,
yeah.
And he had a version for her.
She's breaking it down so beautifully.
I can't say it. Right?
You should. Can I block that?
No, you're too late. I asked you if you're going to block it.
What's the first? What's that?
The first choice was "I Will Always Love You" by Whitney Houston. B was "Wonderwall" by Oasis.
I don't think it was "Wonderwall."
And C is "Candle in the Wind" by Elton John.
I feel like "Wonderwall" is one that got like bigger after.
Personally, I think Wonderwall is overrated, but I'm not an Oasis fan, so.
I don't mind.
But
I like,
maybe.
I knew you were
going to
be the one who saves
me.
I like C with the logic.
So, this is why we have the Ask the Audience here. Are you going to go with what they said with C?
Yeah.
All right. Dad also had C. Candle in the Wind C. They are both correct.
Thank you, audience.
I thought I heard that.
So, yes, it was specifically Candle in the Wind 97, the Princess Diana version. If I said that, it would have given it away. So I had to do part of it.
That's funny.
All right. That moves us on to question number 4. Produced by David Guetta. This 2009 song defined the late 2000s club culture with over 7 million sales in its first year alone and being number one in 20 countries worldwide. Is it A, I Got a Feeling by the Black Eyed Peas, B, Right Round by Flo Rida, or C, Bad Romance by Lady Gaga?
I don't like any of those songs.
Well, you're not fun in the club then.
I'm not. I'm fun in the mosh pit, though.
I like those songs.
I like them, too.
All right.
David Guetta is a producer and DJ.
Producer, yeah.
But I was expecting a different song.
I thought it was going to be... He's, like, featured on all these?
No, he's not featured.
He's just produced it. Okay.
He produced it. So
that's
not
why his name wouldn't be
so
associated.
So he's not... Yeah, his name is not associated when...
He sounds his type of beat. All right. So then I'll go off of that.
All right. Show off your answers. Dad is saying Black Eyed Peas...
That was between those
He's
two.
Saying Flo Rida. It was Black Eyed Peas.
Yay.
Dad got it.
The eraser didn't help me.
Dad, do you remember clubbing to this song?
Oh, yes.
2009?
2009.
When you were what?
I wasn't clubbing in 2009. I was taking care of you.
Exactly. I was going to middle school dances in 2009. I was dancing
probably
to
dancing
it.
To that song.
Exactly.
Well, Connor, you don't remember your dad dressing up as Will I Am?
Cut. Question number 5. This 2014 collaboration was the official number one song of the 2010s, spending 14 weeks at number one, winning 2 Grammys, and certified 11 times platinum. Was it A, Uptown Funk by Mark Ronson featuring Bruno Mars, B, Despacito by Luis Fonsi, Daddy Yankee, and Justin Bieber, or C, We Found Love by Calvin Harris featuring Rihanna?
Okay.
I only know one of those songs.
I know all of them.
I'm so old. Oh, maybe I should ask the audience.
Ask the audience. Uh-oh. Dad is using his ask the audience.
Ask Dan.
Ask Dan. That's what it is.
You don't have to hand it to him.
I wrote my answer, so I'll put it down. You don't even have to get up.
Trevor's locked in. You can just talk. You don't have to hand it.
So out of those songs, like, I personally do like Uptown Funk. And the thing is, though, the first name you mentioned with that song, I hadn't heard that name before. I just knew it was Bruno. I just associated it as it's Bruno Mars.
He's the guitar player who
he's in the video.
Wrote the song.
Yeah. I don't think I actually seen the video, but I know the song. And it's just I've just associated Bruno Mars with it for so long.
Everybody does, but Mark Ronson is the official artist on it, and Bruno Mars is the feature.
As I don't know C. I can't say that. I probably heard the song, but that
we
C.
Found love in a hopeless place.
Yeah, that's
good song.
Yeah, I've heard it, but until now, I hadn't known who it was.
Mm-hmm.
But the song that for me, at least, and this is more recent memory, that like sticks out the most, and this song, like you couldn't go anywhere without hearing it. I know everywhere I went, like during the summer, like friend parties, family parties, everywhere, I heard Despacito so much that it's the one that just sticks out of my memory the most right now. Mm-hmm. And in terms of like a collaboration, like what was it, Justin Bieber, Daddy Yankee,
and Luis Fonsi.
Yeah, I.
If I'm saying that name right.
Yeah, just big names there. So I Bieber's one of the biggest names in terms of like this genre of music. Bieber's one of the biggest names on the planet. So I feel most confident in B.
So it's up to you whether you want to go along with what the audience says or if you want to go with something different. Dan seems pretty confident on B. How do you want to proceed?
That's a tough one because I don't know the song B.
You don't know B?
It doesn't know Despacito.
Despacito. I don't even know the lyrics.
It's in Spanish, half of it.
I was leaning toward A.
Good song.
All good songs.
All good songs. I like all three.
Are you going to go with Dan's answer or are you going to go with your gut?
I don't know. I went to start writing A first. I think I'm going to stick with that.
He's going to stick with A. Interesting.
Uh-oh.
All right. So Dad's going with A. Trevor is going with, he's going with B.
Yeah.
Which way is it going to lean?
He's literally leaning.
Of course he is.
It's going to Dad, Bruno Mars.
Really? Really?
Yes.
Well done, Mr. Walsh. Well done. Yeah.
But guys, that brings us to the end of that category. Oh, we have to do the bonus.
Bonus round.
Guess what the category is. I was a little more specific on this one. All right, you guys got something?
I got one.
All right, music through the ears. Show it off to the camera.
I'm showing it to you to get the points.
Makes sense.
And then music through the years. And then music, what'd you say, top of the charts?
Top of the charts.
What did I write down?
What did you write down?
I wrote down top single of the last 5 decades.
Oh.
Do we feel like they both get it? Are they close enough?
That's funny. Because I got years, but he got charts.
I know. Which you guys both got like half.
Yeah. Because I noticed it got like progressively more closer to current time.
Should I give them one
but
point
I didn't notice
each?
It was
you know what? I think that's fair. Yeah.
All right. They essentially had one half of it. So we'll keep y'all tied. I mean, not tied. You tied that, but Dad is up 2 points.
Oh, he's up 2 points.
It is 14 to 12 right now.
He's still got to ask the audience.
I can still ask you guys.
I'll pick up another block.
Yeah.
I'll pick up a free pass.
Trevor, you are behind. Give it a spin.
Give me points.
The wheel gods.
I like
another ask the audience. Okay. Remember, you can only use these on these next 5 questions.
Whoop. I'm dropping things.
Yep.
That's a decent spin.
Oh, you got one too.
Ask the audience as well. Very good. Is anybody going to deduct points for more spins? Remember, you're behind 2. You're up 2.
He really wants to.
I want to, but it hasn't given out any points.
No.
Yeah. I'm good.
You're good.
I'm good. We have one more swim left.
Yep.
And I can spend points then too.
Yep. Exactly. All right. This brings us to the last category. Uh-oh. This one's going to be fun.
Uh-oh.
All right.
That means it's not going to be fun. What he says is going to be fun is that's not going to be fun. It's only going to be fun for him. He's going to ask like the craziest question. Like, how many Cocoa Puffs were in his cereal this morning?
How many Cheerios?
Cheerios, okay.
Question number one. Pop star Kesha collaborated with Colorado-based platinum-selling pop duo on the 2008 hit Starstruck. Was it A, Capital Cities, B, 303, or C, 21 Pilots?
Hey, so this is Connor from Post. I screwed up this question. So Kesha worked with this duo on a 2010 song, My First Kiss. It was actually Katy Perry that worked with the same duo in 2008 on Starstruck. My bad.
Trevor, you seem confident enough that you're writing down. Dad, what are you going to do?
Only because I've seen these guys.
Oh, okay.
Where'd you see them?
St. Rose.
Okay. That being said, show off your boards. Trevor's saying A. Dad is saying B. Trevor's saying Capital Cities. He's saying 303. Uh-oh. It is 303.
Connor interviewed them.
I did.
Ooh.
I did interview 303.
Damn. Your dad, I think, knows more pop culture than I do.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Probably. He might.
303. See, I was between those two because you said Colorado duo, and I was like,
yeah. Well, 303 was a Colorado duo.
It's just two of them.
It's just two of them?
Yeah.
I thought I've seen.
Just two of them.
Two of them.
What was that?
Yeah, it's just two of them.
Two of them.
Yeah. All right. Question number two. This highly esteemed British actor, who's also known for the X-Men movies, played the poop emoji in 2017's Emoji Movie. Was it A, Sir Ian McKellen, B, Nicholas Hoult, and C, Sir Patrick Stewart?
There was an Emoji Movie?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it was bad.
I can imagine.
It was really bad.
I thought it was somebody else.
Was it Poop Emoji Bad?
Worse than Poop Emoji Bad.
No point in asking the audience.
I can't imagine A or C.
You know what's the funny part? It's one of them.
It's one of the one of the three. They are all English actors, and they've Nicholas Hoult. And they've all been in the X-Men franchise.
I'm pretty sure they asked somebody else first, and they said no. That's why he... Do you know that? I'm pretty sure they asked...
They might have.
I think they asked Jordan Peele. I believe they asked Jordan Peele first, and after he rejected, he was like, yeah, I never
There's
want to
so much
again.
Wrong with that.
I believe I've read
There's
that somewhere.
There's so much wrong with that.
Well, making it a funny character, he's a funny, like, but yeah, I know it's very wrong, but
yeah.
He was like, yeah, I'm not doing anything. So, and then now he's like the best producer for horror movies.
Someone who had that idea was literally just like, surface up, like, this is a funny role, you're a funny guy.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah, they didn't think
that through.
No. All right, show off your boards, guys. Trevor is saying Sir Ian McKellen. Dad is saying Sir Patrick Stewart.
It's one of those
we
two.
Got Magneto versus Professor X right here.
I'm
Which one was it?
Patrick got tricked into it and then realized it was really bad and fired. I could see him firing.
I could see him doing that too.
But he fired him in such a polite way.
It was Sir Patrick Stewart. Dad is up to 16 points. Trevor is at 12.
That was just a guess.
Question number three. Baseball fans called the Royal Rooters sang this song from the Broadway musical The Silver Slipper to distract the other team during the 1903 World Series. The song resurfaced in 2004 to help break a longstanding MLB World Series curse. Is it A, Send in the Clowns, B, Tessie, or C, Sweet Caroline?
Oh.
You haven't asked the audience.
I'm going to ask the audience if he has it written down already.
Read that again, please?
Absolutely, but... Dad, are you going to block his Ask the Audience? This is the time to do it.
It's up to you. It's up to you. You have it.
I know the answer, so.
All right, so no block. Trevor is asking the audience.
Right.
I don't think anyone's going to get it.
See, I know, like, right, Sweet Caroline is super super with the Red Sox, and I think did the Red Sox win in the early
2000s? 2004.
So,
and that pretty sure that was breaking the big curse because they didn't win since Babe Ruth left.
Yeah, that was the curse of Bambino.
Yeah, because they got rid of him. In 2004 makes sense. But when does Sweet Caroline get resistance?
Well, because they're both Sweet Caroline and Tessie is also associated with the Red Sox, so I'm not 100% sure.
Oh, see, I didn't know about that one. Never heard of Tessie.
See, Sweet Caroline is the song that Boston always plays.
They always play. Yeah. So when did that come out too?
In terms of when it came out, that was I think that's a much older song for
I don't know how old Sweet Caroline is.
I think it's Tessie. I think it's Tessie because that came.
That's an old song.
It's right around the same time frame of when they broke the curse in 2004.
I don't think Sweet Caroline that old. I don't think so. So Tessie wouldn't make sense. I don't think Sweet Caroline's from 1903.
1903. No.
I'm associating Tessie with that. Old MVP baseball game. It's like one of the most notorious baseball games that's ever been created. Yeah. And it's, you know, got Manny Ramirez on the cover. Tessie's part of this. I feel strongly about Tessie.
Well, dude, I trust it because I didn't even know.
Trevor is going with B, Tessie.
Yes,
show
I
your
am.
Board just to confirm. Dad, show off your board.
Tessie.
Whoop, upside down.
He is also saying Tessie. Tessie is correct.
Ooh,
it was
points.
The curse of
Thank
Tessie.
You. I needed those points.
Not only was it the curse of the Bambino, but it was the curse of Tessie. Because the same year that Babe Ruth left the Red Sox, it was also the same year, for whatever reason, that they stopped singing Tessie at home games.
And Tessie was brought back by the...
Dropkick Murphys.
How old is Tessie then? How long is that? How old is that song?
1903.
Tessie, that's crazy. That's when it came. Dang.
Yeah. It was like 1902, 1903. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So no, very old song. And you're right. It was in MVP baseball. Question number four. In 1977, Rankin and Bass Studios was the first studio to make a feature length adaptation of one of J.R.R. Tolkien's works. Was it A, The Hobbit, B, The Lord of the Rings, or C, The Adventures of Tom Bombadil?
You know, real things, huh?
Mm-hmm.
What was
all
the
works
was,
of J.R.R. Tolkien?
What was the beginning again?
Again, in 1977, mm-hmm. Rankin and Bass Studios was the first studio to make a feature-length adaptation of one of J.R.R. Tolkien's works. Was it A, The Hobbit, B, The Lord of the Rings, or C, The Adventures of Tom Bombadil? You both each have and ask the audience. Dad, you have a block. Mom's over here shaking her head. Just like, don't ask me.
We're gonna... I remember hearing this question, but I don't remember the answer.
All right. You guys have answers, guys?
Yeah.
All sure. right. Show them off.
A.
Both are saying A, The Hobbit. That is correct. Cool. All right. Question number five. Last in the category. Dad is up. He has 18. Trevor has 14. You're trailing by 4.
Uh-oh.
Space Ghost, Coast to Coast. It's like Hanna-Barbera superhero Space Ghost, and turned it into an absurdist talk show host interviewing real live-action celebrity guests. The talk show ran the majority of its 11-season run on what network? Was it A, HBO, B, Adult Swim / Cartoon Network, or C, Comedy Central?
I mean,
who here remembers Space Ghost? Either the original or the talk show?
Oh, I don't
know. Can I just like...
You want to put it ask the audience?
I mean, it's the last question I can do it on, it is. Right? I can't do it on the last question,
what
right?
What are you going to do? Are you going to do anything about that?
Nah, let him go.
Wow.
All right, so lock in your answer first.
I believe I think I know it. We talked about it last time. Yeah. This was one of the this was like a similar question last time, but the answer was Space Ghost.
Yep. All right, so that is the last of his ask the audience.
I believe it's Adult Swim.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
You feel confident on that? 100%. All right.
Yeah.
So he's saying that. We're going with B. Dad, show off your answer as well. The answer is B, Adult Swim.
Yeah.
Very good.
I believe. Wasn't that in the question of the last time?
All right, so that brings us to the end of the round. It is time for you guys. Well, bonus question. It is time for you guys to guess what the category was.
Bonus round.
This might be the toughest one, actually.
Yes.
Dan doesn't look confident. No, Mom.
This is the first one. I don't think I was paying attention to, like, the actual
Yeah, same.
They were all over the place.
It had a theme for a while, is a through and then line. It deviated off.
The last question threw me off.
There is a through line.
All right. General. Hope it gets me points.
All right, Dad, show off yours.
Books to live-action movies and TV.
Okay, good answer.
I just put movies and TV shows.
Movies and TV. All right. Both interesting answers. What I wrote down. And I am very disappointed in the both of you. Reworked previous Walsh whiteboard questions.
That's literally what I thought. I literally was going through my head. I was like, is this just... I literally mouthed it to myself. I was like, is this just white Walsh whiteboard questions?
Yeah. Roll the clip.
He wouldn't do that. I mouthed it to myself.
And can I
you
just
see it
say...
on camera. And I said it.
Can you? I just say two of the questions... You got wrong this round. You also got wrong the first time around.
Really?
Yes.
Which ones?
The first two. You've watched all of them. You've been in a good amount of them.
I just can't win one.
All right. That being said, it is wheel time.
Yay. Yes.
All right. I know. Trevor's happy. I'm actually going to give it to Dad first to spin. These are free spins before you have to sacrifice points. And remember, you can't get...
Oh,
steal two points.
Oh no.
Ouch.
And it's like right on the border.
I know.
Clutch. Oh,
that clutch. Is clutch. That's tough. What do I have now? 10?
You have 13.
13? What does he have?
And he has 21.
Like Steph Curry, a Steph Curry dagger.
Oh.
With like 5 seconds left. Like. Gain two.
Okay.
Gain two.
Okay. Get him right back.
That's good.
So 15 to 21. Oof.
Let me spin one more.
You are going to spin one more?
Yeah.
You're going to go down to 14 then?
Yeah.
Remember, you can only gain or steal points. None of the other ones count.
Oh, so close. I got a block. Okay.
And
I'm
unfortunately,
good.
That doesn't count for anything.
It's so close.
You were 7 points behind, Trevor. And the last category is on classic literature.
Oh, great.
I specifically made the first four categories to play to their strengths. The final wager, I'm playing to their weaknesses.
Oh, no. Classic literature.
I begged him not to use this category.
They That's both funny. Told me, stay away from this.
I asked him, what to ask you? You said the four categories, like basic categories, and my first reaction was, oh, God, books.
Books. Yep. Oh, yep. God. And then Dad also texted, is like, I haven't read a book in years. So.
I've read half a book.
So, that being said, they have to wager up to as much as they have. They could wager everything. You can be strategic. It's up to you how you want to go about this. But again, the final wager question is classic literature. So write down your wager on your board. Do not let anybody else see it. Just let me see it. You have 21 points. And he has 14 points.
All right, guys.
Something I have to read.
It comes down to this last question. Dad is in the lead with 21 points. Trevor is at 14.
Dun, dun, dun.
It could come down to this. The author of this novel began writing in 1816 at the age of 18, and the work was first published when she was 20 years old in 1818. Since she used themes of unchecked technological progress and chemistry to explain the plot of her book, unlike many other novels of the time which used magic, this novel has given her the distinction as the mother of science fiction. What is the name of the novel in question?
What? Could you please read that again?
Yeah.
I promise you, you know this book.
I know this book?
You absolutely, whether you read it or not, you absolutely know. You know this. But I knew how I worded it was not going to make it easy. I will read it again. The author of this novel began writing in 1816 at the age of 18, and the work was first published when she was 20 years old in 1818. Since she uses themes of unchecked technological progress and chemistry to explain the plot of her book, unlike many other novels of the time which used magic, this novel has given her the distinction as the mother of science fiction. What is the name of the novel in question? This book has had so much cultural influence. What this book did inspired so much, and we still see elements and characters from this today in mainstream media.
1818 is crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy.
That's a long time ago.
And also being 18 years old when you started writing this, 20 when it's published, and it's like considered one of the greatest works ever.
That's the other thing too, how young.
Oh yeah. Well, they didn't have anything else to do.
They just hung out, ate food, okay, right?
Yeah.
2 minutes later.
Neither one of them have written anything down.
No.
No.
I didn't even have a good guess.
I thought you said you had at least one guess.
Yeah, it's not good.
No.
it's not Charlotte's Web.
Damn. There takes my guess away.
I really hope it wasn't Charlotte's Web. Part of me really believed that.
Oh, my gosh. See, the question was so long, like, you almost had me. When you specified technology and like chemistry, like that kind
that's
of.
That's what like. You think you know
that? I think so, because if you take that from way back then and then think it has had impact all the way up today, it also kind of narrows down characters.
Okay. Oh, give a hint. You know what? This is a free hint for the both of you guys. Nothing is locked in right now.
No, that's older.
Do you feel like you could give a hint without totally giving it away? Also, we don't know if he knows it for sure. This is just on the assumption that he figured it out.
If I'm right, it would be, I guess, a hint that I could use would be, think of like a classic Halloween/monster-esque character.
That's right.
Okay. That's very interesting. Does anybody want to change their answers based on Dan's hint?
And you want the character, not the author.
I want the name of the book.
Oh.
I want the name of the book. But I want the name of the book. Okay. That's all I'll say to them. Is anybody changing their answer based on Dan's hint? And we don't even know if Dan's right.
That's correct, but I did change to something different.
He did change. He
was right as you said, down on the... What was it? The science and
yeah. What are you going to change, like, oh, or are you going to lock in with your answer, Dad?
I know what he's picking up.
My
what he's
answer
putting
is wrong.
If it makes you feel better, I'm still blown away by the pop culture ones you knocked out of the park and
beat all me on them. beat me on all of them.
I don't know. I feel like we've gone as far as we possibly could with hints. So, and again, I don't know what either board has. I have not looked at the boards. I just know that this is not their board? Category. No, I don't want to see your board yet. I don't want to look. I don't want to. But see, this is what happens when we haven't asked the audience. It's like, this is a cool feature.
Yeah.
We might have to bring people more back in. I know, we're going to have to get a big studio.
I don't like this answer either, but...
Okay, you at least feel better about it? All right,
maybe.
Dad, since you are in the lead, I want to see your board first. You're showing... That's
Ooh,
a good guess.
That's a great guess.
Sleepy Hollow, Ichabod Crane. That is very strong. And also, I am known for pulling a lot of, like...
local stuff.
Yeah,
I am known for doing that.
Very solid logic on that thing.
That is very good logic.
And it would also kind of fit with like the hint I sort of gave. Like,
oh yeah,
spooky.
That's what turned my his hint.
Yeah,
You said science and chemistry.
Show off yours.
Before he said that, before he slowed and said that down, I did write The Wizard of Oz, which is not a great guess, but that's the only thing I could think of. So I
originally had Jules Verne Around the World in 80 Days.
Interesting. Oh. Okay.
So I definitely was wrong.
It's interesting.
But then when you said that, I wrote Frankenstein.
Frankenstein.
Because I thought movie – well, you slowed down on like book – and character name, I picked up on that because he was like, I picked up on that, but even before that, right as you said chemistry and like science and slowed that down, I was like, oh, yeah. Frankenstein, and then you said monster and scary. Yeah.
No, he never said monster.
He said monster.
Did you say monster?
I thought you said Halloween. No, he said Halloween monster esque. Okay. But before he said that, I put Frankenstein.
Dad has Sleepy Hollow, Ichabod Crane. Sleepy Hollow. The Legend of Sleepy Hollow, Ichabod Crane is the character. Sleepy Hollow was written by Washington Irving, a guy. And it was published in 1820.
That was a problem. I knew that.
Well, we got closer to the year. 1820.
1820.
1820.
1820.
That's
very
literally
good.
2 year difference. That's crazy. Yeah.
Then, when it comes to the question.
What's going
to
be, though?
That we had. Before I go any further, how much did you wager?
Eight points.
So. Dad has 8 points wagered. We know Trevor put down Frankenstein. Again, since she uses themes of unchecked technological progress and chemistry to explain the plot of her book, unlike many other novels of the time which used magic, this novel has given her the distinction as the mother of science fiction. Title of the book, The Modern Prometheus, otherwise known as Frankenstein, by Mary Shelley. Breaking his losing streak.
My losing streak.
Trevor has won.
I just have to get the final question right.
Yes.
I followed our normal pattern. I'm leading up until the final one.
That does happen.
Well, you guys
at
were
trivia,
you were second, right? Were you second or first going into the final question?
They were high up
because you guys got 10 in the baseball.
We always do that. We're way up there, and then we miss the last.
We're usually my teams are usually the opposite, where we're like kind of middling the whole time, and then we'll bet everything, and then hopefully get the last question right.
Wow.
You know, hit or miss.
Wow. That's
why
I'm
about
1-3.
What a twist!
Yeah. What a twist! I know. Trevor, congratulations.
Thank you. Good game.
After four Walsh whiteboards, 4 out of 6 episodes, Trevor has his first Juniors 2 gift card coming his way. Come on out to Juniors 2 for trivia night. We have it every Thursday at 7 o'clock. Fantastic time. Dad, beautiful, beautiful game. You did good.
So many good questions I got right.
That being said, that brings us to the end of this Walsh Whiteboard. Thank you so much for tuning in. This was a really fun episode. Thank you to our studio audience. Appreciate you guys.
Yeah. Studio audience.
Thank you everybody for watching. Thank you guys for playing. Congratulations to you both. As always, I'm Connor, and I'm glad we get to spend some time.
And that's a wrap on this week's episode. Much love to our sponsors this week, MHA of Dutchess County, Fulman Wash Car Wash, Juniors 2, the Kyle Robinson Memorial Foundation, Council on Addiction Prevention and Education of Dutchess County Incorporated, Dayrock, and Walsh Valuation. Last but not least, thank you to our Walsh Wednesday All-Stars, those who have generously contributed to the 2026 Walsh Wednesday Fund Drive. It's through your support that Walsh Wednesday can continue to bring quality programming. If you'd like to donate or learn more about becoming a sponsor, please email connor@cmjwentertainment.com. Thank you once again, and for Walsh Wednesday, I'm Connor, and I'm glad we get to spend some time.